Our shiur today from Parshas Baal Loscha will have two dimensions to it. First, on a level of Parshanut, as is well known, the Parsha has many themes and subjects to it, and the question is what connects them. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, has addressed this and will present his thesis in a few sentences just at the outset. But another dimension to today's study of Parshas Baal Loscha is to see Baal Loscha as a prism through which we can answer the question how the Jewish people have survived the Golos. What are the keys? What are the secrets of success for the Jewish communities going, as it were, from one location to the other, reformulating themselves, reestablishing themselves from place to place over the course of so many millennia? What is the key to their success, to the ability of the Jewish community to move on and reestablish itself? What are the goals and the visions of the community? And how do we see this in Parshas Baal Loscha? Amongst the many themes and subjects of this parasha, we begin with Perek Ches of Sefer Bamidbar, the first four psukim, which are dedicated to the mitzvah of Ner Shebemigdash. Daber Aaron v'yamarti lo Baal Loscha saneros, etc. Rashi already comments that this opening section of our parasha is connected to the previous parasha, the Chanukah Sanasiyim, and Rashi is marich on that. The second subject of Parshas Baal Loscha, beginning in Pasuk He of the same Perek Ches, is Kiddush HaLeviim, and that begins with the words Kach Es HaLeviim Mitoch Bnei Yisrael. And that section continues all the way until Pasuk Chavav, which closes the discussion about the Leviim with the words V'sheres es echav bi'ol moed lishmar mishmeres, etc. That closes Perek Ches, which is the first Perek of Parshas Baal Loscha, and Perek Tes immediately following opens with the subject of Pesach Sheni. That begins with Pasuk Aleph of Perek Tes and concludes at the end of Pasuk Yudalid in the same Perek. And the third theme of Pesach Sheni doesn't seem at the face of it to be related to the previous two themes, that of Hadlokas Ner Shebemigdash and that of Kiddush HaLeviim. Then we move on to the fourth subject of our parsha, and that begins in the middle of Perek Tes, following immediately after the story of Pesach Sheni, in Pasuk Tes Vav, the Torah says, "Ubiyom hakim es hamishkan, kisa ha'anan es hamishkan li'oel ha'edus." And here we have the section that deals with Anani HaKavod, beginning with Pasuk Tes Vav and concluding at the end of Pasuk Chav Gimel, Al Pi Hashem Yachenu Ve'al Pi Hashem Yiso. Please note that this section deals not only with the Anani HaKavod, but also with the Chaniya, the encampment of Bnei Yisrael, and the Nesia, and the movement of Bnei Yisrael as they march through the Midbar. Following Pasuk Chav Gimel, which concludes Perek Tes of Sefer Bamidbar, we begin Perek Yud with the subject of the Chatzotzos. Asei lecha shtei Chatzotzos Kesef. And the Torah describes the various functions of the Chatzotzos. There was a Tkia, V'noadu, Eilecha Kol Ha'eda. This was to gather the people together. In Pasuk Dalet, V'achas Yisko, V'noadu Eilecha HaNesiyim, Roshei Alfa Yisrael. This was to gather together the Nesiyim. All this was done through Tkiyah B'chatzotzos. And then in Pasuk Hey, the second function of the Chatzotzros, which is fundamentally different than the first, and that is Uskatem Trua Vinosu Hamachnos Hachonim Kedma, etc. Here we have, instead of a Tkia, we have a Trua. And the purpose of this Trua is for Vinosu Hamachnos. This is for the movement of the Machnos. This section of Chatzotzros is covered by the first 10 psukim of Perek Yud, and then we have a parsha psucha beginning with Pasuk Yud Aleph that goes back to the historical story, which the Torah testifies that in the second month, that's Iyar, of the second year, on the 20th day, the people begin to move as the Anan moves. The Torah describes how the Machnos was situated, and Moshe turns to his father-in-law, Chovav, invites him to join them on this march, and in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayisu Mi'arshem Derech Shloshes Yomim, Rashi says, Shayakadosh Baruch Hu Chofetz Lach Nisam La'aretz Miyad, and following we have the Nunim Hafuchim, Vayibim Sa'aron, and then the Chet of the Misonim, followed immediately by the Chet of the Misavim, and Moshe Rabbeinu pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Uchal Anochi Levadi Losesis Kol Ha'am. And then Hashem's response, Esfo Lishivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. The Rav Zichron Levracha delineates 8 different themes in the Parsha. In our Shia today, we are going to split those 8 into 2 different sections. According to the Rav, the underlying theme that connects the various parts of Parshas Baaloscha is the preparatory stage for the entry into Eretz Yisrael, the goal of which is to establish the Beis HaBechira, the Beis Olamim. Moshe is going to be the Melech HaMashiach. The end of days, the ultimate goal of creation, is going to be achieved. Nosim Anachnu, we are going, and this is the march to enter into Eretz Yisrael and establish the Mashiach, establish the Beis HaBechira. My comment is that I believe the Rav is absolutely correct. Once we hit the Parsha Psucha, that's midway through Perek Yud Aleph. As we said before, Perek Yud Aleph is clearly divided into 2 parts. The first part ends with Pasuk Yud, and that, I'm sorry, I'm talking about Perek Yud, my mistake, I correct myself. The Rav is correct in the second half of Perek Yud, which begins in Pasuk Yud Aleph. The first 10 psukim of Perek Yud deal with the Chatzotzros, as we spoke about before, the 2 functions of the Chatzotzros, to gather the Machne and to move on. We spoke about the Trua, the Tkia, followed by the Trua, the 2 functions respectively. That takes us till Pasuk Yud Aleph. That starts a new parasha. Even though it's part of the same parak, it's a new parasha because it shifts from concepts, from mitzvos in the abstract, to the actual telling of the history of the Nesia, of Nosim Anachnu, which you'll see clearly in Pasuk Choftes of the same Perek Yud, Vayomer Moshe L'Chovav, Chosei Moshe Nosim Anachnu, Elamokom Asher Omer Amar Hashem. And this is the Nesia that was meant to be Shloshes Yomim Li Kones La'aretz Miyad. From that point on, this new parasha, that means Perek Yud Aleph of Pasuk Yud Aleph of Perek Yud, is clearly, as the Rav explained so beautifully, the Nesia, the march to establish the final commonwealth and the kingdom of Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaBechira, and establish the Melech HaMashiach. But as far as the beginning 2.5 chapters, that means Prakim Ches and Tes, and half of Perek Yud of Parshas Baaloscha, Sefer Bamidbar, I believe that we can take an alternative approach. The Rav himself, in his famous shiur about Parshas Balosha, leaves out the first theme of the parsha, namely Balosha Saneros, the mitzvah of Adlokas Nesha B'Migdash. Admittedly, is not part of the march into Eretz Yisrael. This is a particular mitzvah that was given to Aaron Ubanov to light the base, the menorah in the base of Migdash. And the Rav insists that that parsha of Ner Shabbat Migdash really is an addendum and should be annexed to the earlier parsha, Parshas Noso, regarding the Chanukah Sanesiyim. And that's the Rashi at the very beginning of our parsha. Lo manispucha parshas ha-menorah le-parshas ha-nesiyim. So really the menorah belongs to parshas ha-nesiyim. Today I would like to suggest an entirely different approach, in which the first five themes and sections of parshas Balosha, the 2.5 prokim, ches, tes, and half of yud of Bamidbar, belong to one entity, the subject of which is not the march into Eretz Yisrael, but rather the Mishkan in the Midbar, which represents the Migdash of Chutz Laretz. As we know, the Beis HaBechira, which was established by David HaMelech and his son Shlomo in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, that was one of the mitzvos that the Gemara in Sanhedrin insists could only come into being after Knisa Eretz Yisrael. And no doubt that, as the Rav points out so beautifully, from the middle of Perek Yud and on, we're focused on the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaBechira, the Beis Olamim in Yerushalayim, and the establishment of the Bayis and the Malchus of Hashem. That's for sure. But I believe that the first part, perhaps the first half even, of Parshas Balosha is focused not on the Beis HaBechira, not on Eretz Yisrael, but rather on life, as it were, in the Midbar representing Golus, the diaspora of the Jewish people, the mitzvah of establishing the Mishkan, which applies way before the Beis HaBechira in Yerushalayim. In fact, the Rambam, when he brings a pasuk as the source for the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk that he quotes in the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBechira is V'asu li Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. That mitzvah of the V'asu li Mikdash, of establishing a Mikdash, applies in Chutz Laretz. It was actually addressed to Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, to Moshe Rabbeinu to build the Mishkan in the Midbar. And there were many other Mikdashos that fulfilled that mitzvah of V'asu li Mikdash before David and Shlomo established the Beis HaBechira in Yerushalayim. There was Shiloh, and there was Nov, and Givon, and so forth, all before the actual establishment of the Beis HaBechira. And therefore, I believe that the beginning half of Parshas Balosha really refers to the Mishkan, or the Mikdash, of Chutz Laretz that would be established in one place and then re-established elsewhere, not the permanent Beis HaMikdash of the ultimate commonwealth, the Beis HaBechira of Yerushalayim. So therefore, in the framework that we would like to suggest, answering the question what connects the themes of Parshas Balosha, we have to begin with the mitzvah of Balosha Saneros. On the contrary, this sets the tone for the entire Parsha of Balosha, Ner Shebemigdash. And to amplify the significance of the mitzvah of Ner Shebemigdash, we refer to the Medrash HaGadol on this week's parsha, quoting a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. You'll see this on the second source of your page. Alkein bi'urim kibdu Hashem. What does it mean, bi'urim kibdu Hashem? There's a machlokas amongst the mefarshim. Rashi and the Radak have one pshat. We're going to focus now on the Malbim's approach to the word Urim. Says the Malbim, Hadliku Urim. The Navi wants to light the Urim. And what is the purpose of the Urim? The Urim, these lights, if you will, have a goal of the message of hope. The message of hope in this illumination is Simon HaYeshua, says the Malden. Lahodia HaBesora LeMerchak. We know that in the ancient times, when a great news was meant to be spread, or something of significance, they used to light fires from mountaintop to mountaintop. We'll see this in Gemara Rosh Hashanah regarding Kiddush HaChodesh. And we see it here with regard to Kibdu Hashem. Why is this Kibud Hashem to light these lights? And the answer is obvious, because these lights are meant to be lit in the Mishkan, in the Migdash of Hashem. That's Kavod of Hashem. Our expression of Kavod Hashem is to light these illuminations in His Beis HaMikdash. That's the Kiyum Kavod. It's similar to what we find with regard to Shabbos, that we're mekayim the mitzvah of Kavod HaShabbos by lighting candles. And the Medrash HaGadol says, V'aloschas HaNeros K'siv. He immediately quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, Bi'urim Kibdu Hashem, Melamed Shechayovim Yisrael Lahadlik Bibote Knesios Ubibote Midrashos Shehein Kemigdosh. Our parsha of Baloschas HaNeros is not limited to the mitzvah of Aaron Ubanov to light the menorah. It's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. But where is that Mikdash? How could we possibly entertain the idea of fulfilling the mitzvah of menorah shebemikdash outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, even after the Churban HaBayis, even in Golus? And the answer is, the Medrash HaGadol invokes a pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel says, Va'ehi lahem l'migdash mi'at. And what is this Migdash Ma'at referred to by Yechezkel HaNavi? The Gemara Megillah and Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph says that this is an illusion. Elu batei knesios u'batei midrashos shebebavel. And the Medrash HaGadol here says, Ma Migdash lo haya haner kuvo kovebo. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the ner was constant. That was the avoda of the Kohanim, to make sure that the ner was constant in the Beis HaMikdash. Kach chayovim Yisrael ahadlik v'bote knesios v'bote midrashos. We too must light a ner tamid that will constantly be lit as a matter of kibdu Hashem biurim, to fulfill the pasuk in Yeshaya, which in itself is an extension of our parsha here at Baloscha of the menorah in the Mikdash. And I believe that this sets the tone for the entire parsha leading up until the story in the middle of Perek Yud of Nosim Anachnu. We're not yet ready for the Beis HaBechira in Yerushalayim. There's a long process of Jewish history that must unfold in Golus. And here we have a mitzvah of Migdash Ma'at, Veheyi Lahem LeMigdash Ma'at, Elu Batek Nesios Ubatek Midrashos. These are the Batek Nesios and the Batek Midrashos of Chutz Laretz. These are the centers of Jewish life in Golus. These are the locations which are designated as a Migdash Ma'at, as a Makom of Shekhinah, to gather together the people, Beis HaKnesses, Miloshon Knesiyah. The Jews must gravitate towards the Beis HaKnesses. There they'll be energized for the mitzvah of tefillah, for the mitzvah of Torah study, for the mitzvah of tshuva, of vidui, to achieve kapara. The center of Jewish life is the Beis HaMikdash Ma'at, which is the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, where we have a mitzvah of kavod. Just as there's a mitzvah of kavod in the Beis HaMikdash, and it will be fulfilled through the lighting of candles. Take a look for a moment at the Mishnah Berurah's comment in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph in Or HaChaim. The Shulchan Aruch addresses in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses the laws of Kavod Beis HaKnesses. And he says in Siftes, Noagim Bem Kavod, with regard to our shuls, our synagogues, there has to be an honor and a respect. Lechavdon Ularavtson. The Rambam expands on this. Nikri Abayis, Reboots, Rikas Mayim Al Pnei HaKarka. And furthermore, says the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, V'noagim lahadlik b'neiros lechavdon. What is the source? What is the meaning of this minhag quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Nun Aleph to light candles in the Beis HaKnesses, Mishum Kavod? Says the Mishnah Brura, Shekein ayu osin b'migdash. In other words, the mitzvah of Kvod HaMigdash reflects itself in our Migdash Ma'at and expressed itself in the lighting of lights in the Beis HaKnesses. Not only is there a mitzvah of Kvod Beis HaKnesses, as there is in Migdash, Kvod Migdash, there's also a mitzvah of Mora Migdash. And therefore there's a mitzvah of Mora Beis HaKnesses. And therefore, at the beginning of Simon Kuf Nun Alf, the same Simon Shulchanach, the third source on your page, Im Tzarech Likanes Behem Litzarko, a person is not allowed to enter into a Beis HaKnesses Litzarko. He needs a matir. There's got to be a reason why he's there. He says, Yikanes V'yikra Ma'at, at least the minimum connection to the Aron Kodesh, to the Sefer Torah, to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, O Yomar Dvar Shmua, if he doesn't open up a Torah Shemachsav, then let him learn Torah Shebal Peh. Kidei Shaloye Nirekilu Nichnas Litzarko. Otherwise, there's no heter, there's no permissibility to enter into Beis HaKnesses. This is a Beis HaMikdash Ma'at. You can't just enter into the Beis HaMikdash for your own purposes. You want to find warmth and protection from the elements. It needs a matir. And therefore, he should be shoher ma'at after he learns his pasuk, yeshiva ben mitzvah, shnemar ashrei yoshev eisecha. This pasuk in Tehillim Pei Dalet, David HaMelech is referring to sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, but also into our Beis HaMikdash ma'at, which is a Beis HaKnesses, a place that's dedicated for prayer and for Torah study. And therefore, to enter into the Beis HaKnesses Litzarko without any permissibility would be a violation of Mora Migdash, because our Beis HaKnesses is a Migdash Ma'at. There's a whole discussion in the same Siman in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Nun Aleph, but towards the end of the Siman, about what's called Aliyos Beis HaKnesses. Suppose you build an attic on top of the Beis HaKnesses. Are you allowed to use that for your own purposes, for what's called a Tashmish Shol Gnai? For example, you have to sleep in the aliyah of the Beis HaKnesses. And here too, the Shulchan Aruch warns us, Yeshli Yizor Milish Tamish Ba'aliyah Shal Al Gavi Beis HaKnesses, Tashmish Kavua Shol Gnai Kigon Lishkov Shom, V'Shar Tashmishim. This you'll see is the fourth source on your page. And in the next source on your page, the Taz, tells us a story that's absolutely machrid. It's absolutely fear and awesome inspiring that in his childhood he used to live in Krakow with his family in his own personal Beis HaMedrash, which was located on top of the Beis HaKnesses. And having established his dira there, he found out in a very tragic way that that was a violation of Mora Migdash, because the Aliyah itself, like in Beis HaMikdash, has Kedusha to it that generates an Isur Mora Migdash, Mora Beis HaKnesses. He says, "An Enashti Harbe V'Misas Bonai V'Talisi Bazeh." When I look to see why these tragedies befell my family, the Avera that I could point to was that of Mora Migdash by establishing a Dira, the Aliyah of the Beis HaMedrash. Now, I'd like to come back to the concept of Mora Migdash as it plays out halachically vis-a-vis our Beis HaKnesses, our Beis HaMedrash, a little bit later on. But let's get back to our beginning topic, the one that we're focused on, namely to find the underlying theme that connects all the subjects of our parasha, at least as we said, until Nosim Anachnu. The second parasha, which is really the second half of Bamidbar Perek Ches, beginning with Pasuk Hey of that Perek, the second subject of Parashas Baloscha, we said, is Kiddush Halevim. And here, I'd like to refer you to the Psukim. We won't read through all the Psukim, but Pasuk Yittes, I think, is perhaps the key to unlock the mystery and the secret of what Kiddush HaLevim is all about and why this parsha is located right here, following the concept of Mora Migdash as it refers to Bnei Yisrael throughout their history. V'etna in Pasuk Yittes, V'etna HaLevim. Let's read it inside the Chumash. It's always good to read a Pasuk inside the Chumash. It says, and this really reveals the unique role of the Levim following the sanctification. V'etna HaLevim Nesunim li'aron u'lebonav mitoch b'nei Yisrael la'avodes avodes b'nei Yisrael bi'ol moed u'lechaper al b'nei Yisrael. This is fascinating. U'lechaper al b'nei Yisrael. The concept of kapara, which we assume that the Misharsim, those who bring about kapara, in terms of the people of Israel, that responsibility is incumbent upon whom? Certainly on the Kohanim. But now we're talking about Shevet Levi in general. And L'chaper al B'nei Yisrael here reveals to us something about Shevet Levi. And the Sfarno, I think, elaborates on this. He says in Pasuk Yittes, Lavod, you'll see this, it's the ninth source on your page. Lavod es avodas bnei Yisrael b'ol moed. Lavod osa avodas shayseru'uyah lebchoreihem. Initially, the bechoros were designated for this avoda. Then it was shifted, transferred, as it were, to the Levim. But ulechaper al bnei Yisrael. And first, in his opening statement, the Sfarno refers to kabbalas maisros, which means that the Jewish people must support Shevet Levi. After all, if Shevet Levi is designated to do the avoda, to be mechaper, how will they support themselves? It's just a logistical, practical question. And the answer is, bekabolam es hamasros miYisrael. And this is reminiscent, of course, of the famous Rambam at the end of Hilchas Shemitah v'Yovel about Shevet Levi that are designated l'shareis lifnei Hashem, and therefore the support that they need will come from elsewhere, even though they're not dedicated to work, to malacha. And the Rambam goes on to say, lo shevet Levi bilvad, but this refers to anyone who appoints himself, so to speak, separates himself from the rest of the nation in order to designate himself and dedicate himself to the service of Bnei Yisrael. He, like shevet Levi, will find his support. He'll be able to live, even though he's not dedicated to malacha. But then the Sfarno goes on, and he makes a very important point that reveals and sheds a great deal of light on the parsha of Kiddush HaLevim, the purpose and the function of the Levim in Klal Yisrael. Kedei sheyuchlu lavodes HaKel Yisbarach v'yechapru al Yisrael shegarmu kulam bi'egel she'emas esbechoreim. As a result of the terrible episode, the chait of the egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejects the Bechoros. The Bechoros represent Klal Yisrael as a whole, as opposed to Shevet Levi. And now we see a very stark, a very profound contrast between Klal Yisrael as a whole and Shevet Levi in particular. Klal Yisrael are guilty of something that's mo'us. Avodah Zorah is always identified in the Torah as something that's mius, mo'us. And Klal Yisrael is guilty. That's the tumah of Avodah Zorah. In contrast, Shevet Levi did not participate at all in the Chet HaEgel. They remained kedoshim u'tahorim. They were pure, uncontaminated, as it were. And therefore, they have the power to bring the kapara to Klal Yisrael. And if we come back to our original question, namely, how do we learn from Parshas Baaloscha about setting up a Mishkan that will, in Chutz La'aretz, in Golos, that will guarantee the survival of the Jewish people in diaspora? The answer is Kiddush HaLevi'im. They have to be Gdolei Torah, those who are designated to serve Hashem, those who are at the center, in charge, and dedicated to Shmiras HaKodesh. The Levi'im would surround the Beis HaMikdash and guarantee its holiness and its sanctity. So too, in order for the Jewish synagogue to play the role as the center of the community of Israel, to energize it towards tshuva, kapara, and avodas Hashem, we need the specific role and the responsibility of the Levi'im that are going to be played, that's going to be played by the Gedolei Yisrael of each generation, of each community. Those will have to separate themselves and dedicate themselves to bring about kapara, to energize the people, to bring them to higher levels of kedusha and tara. And then we move on to the next topic, the next theme of Parshas Baaloscha, and that begins at the very beginning of Perek Tes of Bamidbar, namely the first 14 psukim, the famous parsha of Pesach Sheni. And what I'd like to call your attention to in the parsha of Pesach Sheni are the words in Pasuk Vav, Vayehi Anoshim Asher Hayu Tmeim Lenefesh. Who are these Anoshim? The various deis in the Chacham, but everybody agrees that the word Anoshim means Anoshim Chashuvim. This, I think, is the key to unlock the mystery of Pesach Sheni, and specifically its relationship to the Jew in Golos. The Torah describes how these Anoshim came forward and declared, Anachnu Tmeim Lenefesh Adam Lama Nigara. Those are the key words. Lama Nigara. Levilti Hakriv Es Karban Hashem. At the face of it, we don't understand what this taina, what this claim of Lama Nigara is. Lama Nigara means, why should we suffer? Why should we be left out? Why are we excluded from the great mitzvah of Karban Pesach? After all, we were involved in great mitzvos that brought us to Tumah. We were burying Nadav Avihu, whatever it was. And as a result of our state of Tumah, halachically, legally, we were not allowed, we were not able to bring the Karban Pesach. We were excluded in the first Pesach, but now we want a second chance. Lo Manigara, why are we bounced off? And Rav Gedalia Shar, Zechon Levrach, the great Rosh Hashiva of Tarvadas, in his Or Gedalio, specifically in his discussion about Lag BaOmer, and we've spoken about this in the past, focuses on the Midah of Hod, the fifth week of the 7 weeks of the Omer, represents the Midah of Hod, the fifth day of the Omer, of the fifth week of the Omer is Hod Shebahod, that's Lag BaOmer, and of course, this represents Pesach Sheni, because Pesach Sheni is also the Midah of Hod, and it's reflected here in this parasha in Baaloscha. And the answer is that Hod is the sense of longing for a mitzvah, the craving and the desire for a mitzvah. As the Gemara says in Makos on the Pasuk, Oiv Kesel Lo Yisbar Kesel, said Moshe Rabbeinu, who wouldn't be satiated with mitzvahs. He wants more and more. There's a craving, an insatiable desire to do more and more mitzvahs. The mitzvahs become the oxygen that we breathe, and without them we're lost. True, technically, these Anoshim Tmeim Lenefesh were exempt from the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. In fact, the principle of Ha'osik B'mitzvah Potim B'mitzvah could be derived from the parasha of these Anoshim Tmeim. They were Osik B'mitzvah, they became Tmeim as a result of it, and therefore they couldn't bring the Pesach Sheni. The Karban Pesach. But nevertheless, Lama Nigara, they saw in their own nefesh, each one respectively in his own soul, that something was lacking. There was a certain additional element of spirituality that had to be added, that had to be enhanced in the nefesh, that through the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Every mitzvah enhances another part of our being, of our soul. And even if technically we're exempt, we still desire more and more mitzvahs. As long as those mitzvahs are shayach to us, I'm not talking about, if I would desire to be Kohen, I'm a Yisrael, but if I'm a Jew, and I'm chayav in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, Ella, but what happened? Osig mitzvah, they were tmeim le-nefesh, then that mitzvah has in effect been robbed, has been taken away from me. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to respond to the call of Lamani Gora. And basically, Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, check yourselves out and see if you can find out why your great desire, your insatiable desire for mitzvahs has not been fulfilled, has not been, HaKadosh Baruch didn't allow it to implement itself, to concretize itself, and see if you could find any avera, any chisaron, any deficiency, which caused this situation. And at the end of the day, the answer is that there's no chisaron whatsoever, that the anoshim chashuvim, who are tmeim lenefesh, they would be given another opportunity. They would be able to achieve, to obtain the mitzvah of Korban Pesach as a second chance. And there will be a parasha of Pesach Sheni, Ella. But this parasha is going to be given. Who's the conduit to bring down the parasha? Not like all the other parashas in the Torah, which are brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents Torah Shebichtav, but rather through the Mid of Hod, which represents man's initiative, the human element, man craving, as it were, for the mitzvah. This parasha of Pesach Sheni is given in a tzura, in a way of Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu has to take the question of the Anoshim Chashuvim up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore Moshe responds to them that their zchus, their merit, will bring about a new parash in the Torah, a new mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. Megalgal in zchus al yedei zakai. Take a look at the Rashi at the end of Pasuk Zion in Moshe Rabbeinu's response to the Anoshim Chashuv who claim Lama Nigara. The answer is there is no Lama Nigara. There's no Nigara. There's no Giron here. There's no Gnus. There's no Avera that has that you have to be masakin you anoshim chashuvim. On the contrary, it's megalgal and schus al yedei zaka. You have a special schus through you that the entire mitzvah of the parasha Pesach Sheni will be brought about. And this, I believe, is situated right here in the point in which the structure of Knesset Yisrael is being established, surrounding, as it were, the Beis Hamikdash, the Beis HaKnesses, the Mikdash Ma'at, forging onward towards Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people desperately maintaining their sanctity, their unique entity, as the Mamleches Kohen of Goy Kadosh, surviving the Golus in the diaspora. Pesach Sheni contains the main key message. We have to love the mitzvahs. We have to appreciate, we have to understand that every mitzvah completes us in our spiritual makeup. It's the oxygen we breathe. We have to cling to the mitzvahs. Lo yisva kesef, there's no satiation. Try to even create new opportunities for mitzvahs. Look for a place where you can do something that no one else thought of. Come forward with the meat of yisod. Of hod. I may have said yisod, I meant hod. Because the fifth week of the Omer is hod. And the Pesach Sheni, And like Ba'omer, Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai represents Hod Shebahod, man taking that initiative. It's the Torah Shebaal Peh, what kept man going, what kept the Jew going throughout the centuries, the millennium of Golus, is the Torah Shebaal Peh, his own initiative, his own personal craving and seeking, mitzvos, Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we move on to the next parasha. And that's the parasha of the Anani HaKavod, which begins in the middle of Perek Tes, immediately following the parasha of Pesach Sheni. Pasuk Tes Vav in Perek Tes, Uviyom Hakim Es HaMishkan Kisa ha'anan es ha'mishkan, and the key words are li'ohel ha'edus. Rashi already points out that the words li'ohel ha'edus, that phrase reflects and alludes to the luchos ha'edus, the Kedushas HaTorah contained in the Aron. And the Malbim expands. He says that this pasuk ubiyom hakim es ha'mishkan should be attached, as it were, an extension to Parshas Pekudei, which describes the completion of the Mishkan. Vaychas ha'onan es oel moed. And vaychas ha'onan es oel ha'moed, as opposed to what it says here, oel ha'edus. What's the difference between vaychas, the anan, the cloud covering the oel moed, as opposed to here, the oel ha'edus? Says the Malbim. And this, you'll see, is the 11th source on your page. That with regard to the Mishkan, there is a certain reality of Kvod Hashem Molei Es HaMishkan. How do we know if this reality exists? If it's Kvod Hashem Mila Es HaMishkan? And the answer is, the Siman Ledavar is Kisa Ha'anan Es Oel Moed. That's the pasuk in Parshas Pekudei, immediately at the moment of the completion of the Mishkan, it was Kisa Ha'anan Es Oel Moed. What it means is that Kvod Hashem Mole Es HaMishkan. That means Shechina Gilui Shechina. No, not even Moshe Rabbeinu can enter into the Oel Moed because of the situation of Gilui Shechina. And the Malbim explains that there are moments in time where no one can enter in to the Mishkan because the Kvod Hashem is Molei Es HaMishkan. There are other moments, however, he says, Hanan Chofef U'Machas Olav Mibachutz. This you'll see on the sixth line of the paragraph, the Malbim. Shezeh Siman Ligoel Sashchina Lefamim HaYakovid Mechuse Bi'onan U'Lefamim Meguh. When the kavod, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavyochol Shechina is megula, then it's the anan, it's chofef, mechasalov, no one can enter. But kishahoya HaKavod mechuse hoya Moshe yochol lofa. Why is that? Because at that moment, says the Malbim, the Yom HaKim Es Mishkan Kisa Anan Es HaMishkan Li'Oel HaEdus. Now comes in our parasha here in Baloscha. Kisa Anan Es HaMishkan Li'Oel HaEdus She'u Al HaKisui She'Kisa Achar She'Nistalik HaKovim Mechlal HaBayis. It was no longer Mila HaKovod Es HaMishkan, the entire Mishkan. But there was a siluk of the Kovod. In a sense, the Shechina was concentrated from Michal Abayis, from the Klal of the Abayis, El Ha'edus, Shu Oren Ha'edus, Vanan Chofaf, Al HaKavod, Mibachutz. When the Anan now hovers over the Kavod on the outside, Ikro, its purpose, its main goal, Ha'yarak L'Chofef Al Oren Ha'edus. So we have now an Anan whose primary goal is the Oren Ha'edus. Zenish HaTomid. That chafifas hanan al oren ha'edus is constant. It's absolute. And it indicates that the kavod is not memale the entire bayis, but it's connected to the aron specifically. And at that point, there's a heter, there's a permission to enter in to the old moed. But if it's memale es ha'mishkan, if there's a gilui kavod ha'shchina that filters out throughout or encompasses the entire Mishkan, the entire Ol Moed, then no one, not even Moshe Rabbeinu, is allowed to enter. And the subject, therefore, of this parasha, according to the Malbim, is delineating those moments in which we can enter the Mikdash, the Mishkan, and those that we cannot. And all this, I believe, is an extension or an elucidation, perhaps even a dramatization, of the concept of Mora HaMikdash. The Mora HaMikdash reflects itself in the Ananan,
The Anan is the Simon Ledovar that we're not allowed to enter in. There was Hakomas HaMishkan, there was the Gemara of Hakomas HaMishkan, there was Kisan Ones Ol Moed, Kvar Hashem Milas HaMishkan. No one could enter. And as we said before, our Migdash Ma'at means that we have to have that fear, that trembling, that awe of the Beis HaMigdash, the Mora of Migdash, as it filters, as it expresses itself and reflects itself in the Migdash Ma'at of the Beis HaKnesses. And referring back to some of the sources in Shulchan Aruch, you'll take a look at the Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph. This is the sixth source on your page. He quotes the Arizal, "Hayanizar ma'od shelo ledaber beBeis HaKnesses, rak tfiloso." It's almost as if you cannot enter into the Beis HaMikdash, the Mikdash Ma'at. Your entire presence, your existence within the confines, the environment of the Beis HaKnesses is limited to tefillah. V'afilu divrei musar u'tshuva lo diber. In other words, the intense speech of tefillah, which is highest on the hierarchy, and then it filters down to divrei musar, divrei tshuva, only the highest echelon that was allowed. So that the Arizal would not speak in the Beis HaKnesses even divrei musar, even divrei tshuva. You can see how intense the Beis HaMikdash must be. And we'll find that the Taz, this is on the same topic, but it appears in Siman Nun Hei, it's in number 7, Zion, on your page, on your source sheet. He really goes very far with this concept of Zehirus Shelo Ledaber BeBeis HaKnesses. He quotes the Agur, which is quoted respectively by the Beis Yosef. You'll see it in the bottom of page 1. Nehi the kasev arosh tzrichi yud letzayse. We need a sorrow. We need 10 for a minion. Mikol chazina denogu lam letzarev, that we can include people who are even who are not answering Amen. And even someone who's sleeping. And the Rosh wants to go further and say that we're mitzarev afal pisha mesichim sichas chulim, those who are totally distracted. They're not speaking, they're not listening to the Shliach Tzibur, they're not answering, they're talking. He says, afal gav de libi megamgem, the Rosh himself backs off, and he says, maybe we cannot incorporate these people into the minyan if they're being mesiach sicha, sicha betela, sichas chulin. And you might ask, well, why are they worse than a yashen, someone who's sleeping? And he says, the shema kol aroy lebila, at least the yashen is not capable of responding, but someone who's capable of responding, we have a principle called aroy lebila, bila ma kevispo, ikan l'shono. And the Taz, look at his comment. I bolded it. It's Heich mevi rayim and ashotim elu shosim iser vafsoka sicha betela. Asher gadol avona miod. You know, we're familiar with the Zohar, that the Zohar speaks about the chet chamur, the avon gadol of someone who goes to the Beis HaKnesses and he speaks a sicha betela. And the Taz, in a sense, not he doesn't invoke the Zohar, but he calls the Iser, the prohibition of Hafsaka Sicha Betela, Gadol Avono Miot, a very serious sin. He calls them Shotim. And they violate an Iser, Hafsaka Sicha Betela. He writes, Ube'emes Ani Omer, says the Taz, Shechalila Litztarif Emanoshim Poshim Kaila. You can't even add them to a minion. They're poshim. Kishain minyan zulasam. I think he means even if there's no minyan without them. I mean, if we have minyan without them, so you don't have to even sarif, then the Taz is not telling us anything. But in a case where we cannot construct a minyan unless we include, incorporate into the minyan those who are mesichim, besichim, betela, he says the result of their avera, they remove themselves from the tzibur. They're outside the pale of the community. They cannot be mitzdarif. They're anoshim poshim. An unbelievable statement of the times. And Baruch Hashem, now in our time, we're seeing that shuls are being created in Chutz Laretz, in various communities in which the very raison d'etre, I mean, the very essence of the shul, is no talking during davening. We've seen this in the Five Towns, you know, Esh Kodesh, and we're seeing it in Kew Garden Hills, in Isha Yisrael, and other shuls that are popping up. That Baruch Hashem, there's a new chizuk, a new appreciation. That to enter into the Beis HaKnesses means entering into a Mikdash Ma'at. And the severity of the crime here, of being Mesiach, Sicha B'Tela. And perhaps it's the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses that keeps us going throughout the generations. And that's why I believe this, according to the Malbim, we have an insight as to why this parsha of Biyom HaKemes HaMishkan is located here, is situated right here in explaining the Kedushas Mishkan, the Ashras HaShechina, the Mora that we have to have. The Chassam Sofer is famous in one of his drashos. Rav Olbam quotes it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Rachma V'Chasod of Hishalonu Mikdash Ma'at Batei Knesios U'Batei Midrashos. And invoking the Gemara Megillah, that there's a relationship between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash in Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael, he says, Yesh Lehem Gam Ata Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. I assume the Chassam Sofer means that even now, not Liyasid, the Gemara is talking about Liyasid, but now, there's a Mikzas Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and a Beis HaMedrash Beis HaKnesses. It means that Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is the Kedush of Mikdash, and we have a Mikdash Ma'at, it's the Kedush of Shechina, it's the Kedush of Torah. And he says, V'atfilos nishtalchos l'shar ha-shamayim, the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, he's referring back, I think, to the parish of Yaakov Avinu and the Chalom, is that Eretz Yisrael is the Shar ha-shamayim, all atfilos go through the Beis HaMikdash up to Shamayim. And Eretz Yisrael is Kedushas Mikdash Ma'at. He says, Ach, im chas v'sholom, says the Chassam Sofer, anu nogim be'bizoyon, u'medabrim behem dvarim b'teilim. If we don't realize, if we're not aware constantly of the fact that we're standing in the Beis HaMikdash, but rather we speak dvarim b'teilim, he says, based on Kabbalah, that the Hevel of Dvarim B'Teilim is Tomei, and Mislavish Bo Sar Shal Chutz Laretz, and the Chazal say, Kol Adar B'Chutz Laretz Doma K'misha Ein Lo Eloha, and it's like he believes in other gods. That's what Chutz Laretz is about. It's Tumas Avira B'Chutz Laretz. So it's Mafkia completely undermines the status of Shar HaShamayim. And therefore he says, our Batei Knesios are completely robbed, bereft of the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the Mikzas Kedushas Eretz Yisrael that they could have as Shar HaShamayim because of the Tumah of Dvarim B'Teilim. And the Rabbi Yehuda in his famous drash on Chanukah speaks about the fact that we, during these days of Chanukah, have to work overtime to be misaking, to fix up that which the Yevanim tried to attack. They didn't appreciate the Shechina of Israel, and their concept was, let's destroy the Beis HaMikdash, let's defile it. And today, in our time, says the Nodbi, all we have is Ve'ilahem Mikdash Ma'at, the Batik Nesios of Chutz Laretz. That's where the Shechina is. And he writes that, and he spoke it, Elu amedabrim v'beis haknesses, those who speak sicha b'teila, ein lecha moreid v'malko shalom b'heicha lefanav, in the presence of Almighty God, in the presence of the King of Kings, Godolmi says, there's no greater moreid v'malko shalom than that. V'zem etamir avir akadosh. And then we fall prey to the Yevonim, dugmas ha-Yevonim shetimu, that they want to be metame the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, the Hamid, Selem, the Heichal, Chas Shalom, this is what we're doing. So we see that the Gedolei Yisrael have spoken about this over and over again. The Iser being Medaber Dvarim B'Teilim in a Beis HaKnesses. Things that aren't related to Tefillah. And some have said that perhaps if there are members of the community who speak Dvarim B'Telim, then even those members of the community that are pure and sanctified and they dedicate themselves to Kavanah B'Tefillah, they too are davening in a way that their tefillahs will not be accepted, as we saw from the Ksam Sofer. The Beis HaKnesses is no longer Miktas Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, there's no longer Shar Shamayim. And that's why the Taz, as we saw, says that you cannot link them up to the minyan, to the tzibur that's davening in the Beis HaKnesses. These people who are speaking Dvar B'Telem are completely outside the pale of the tzibur. And one of the Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer in his Sefer Eretz Tzvi writes that Baloschas HaNeros is an illusion that the Kohen Gadol, who represents the tzaddik of each dar, of each generation, has the power Baloschas HaNeros Yeshel Koach LaHalos Kol Mishmos Yisrael Rum HaMailos, as we spoke about before when we spoke about Kiddush HaLevim, through the agency, if you will, the influence and the energy that is generated by the Tzaddik Ador. There's a halah, there's an elevation of the mitzvot of Klal Yisrael. This is a very Hasidic concept that the Tzaddik represents the entire Tzibur, and all the mitzvot of every Yachid V'Yachid is given an extra momentum through the power, the force of the Tzaddik. And that was the avod of Aaron HaKohen, who loved every Jew, reached down to the level to elevate them and bring them back to tshuva, generate a kapara, and intensify the level and the power of their mitzvos. But this parasha of the Anani HaKavod has another dimension to it. And this really requires almost a shiur unto itself. I don't know if we have time for it. And the psukim really indicate that Lufi ha'alos ha'onon me'al ha'oel achrichein yisu b'nei Yisrael, when the Anan lifted itself from the oel, and according to some of Farshim, carried the Jewish people, yisu b'nei Yisrael, etc. Sometimes the Anan lingered for a long period of time, Yomim Rabim, Visharu Bnei Yisrael, Mishmeres Hashem Velo Yiso. The Jewish people, the Torah speaks in the praise of the Jewish people, they were dedicated to the Mishmeres, Visharu Bnei Yisrael, Mishmeres Hashem Velo Yiso, even if they wanted to move on. Sometimes the Anan lingered and hovered over the Mishkan for a short period of time, and immediately afterwards it would move on, and again, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al Pi Hashem Yiso. So how long was the Anan on the Mishkan indicating Chaniya? And how quickly did it sometimes move on, indicating it's time for Nisiyah? And take a look at it when you have the time. Here are all the sources that I have for you, starting from the Sfarno, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and the Rambanan, Pasuk Yud Tes, Rabbeinu B'Chayim, Pasuk Yud Tes, who elaborates. The Sfarno and Perek Pasuk Yud Tes goes even further. The Aruch Chaim and Pasuk Yud Ches, all these sources, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tes Vav, Tes Zayin, they all indicate the Shvachan Shal Yisrael, the Schus of Klal Yisrael, Lech Teich Acharei Bamidbar, that there would be chone b'mokom asher yishkan shama'onan, afal pishay b'mokom tov yilel yishimon. It was tov avohu, it was wilderness, it was desolate, it was dark, and yet they were chonin because they waited for the shechina, the anan, to move on. The Ramban speaks about the fact that it was so difficult for them to set up an encampment, the Torah Gadol, and yet, l'famim yamod anan yom v'alayla, that was it. The Anan would be there just for one day and one night. And imagine, 3 million people would have to get up, pack their bags, and move on after a day and a night. And they didn't complain. They did it with dedication. And sometimes, they came to a place where they would have wanted to stay a long time. It was more comfortable. But they did what Hashem wanted, to move on. Sometimes they came to a place which was very uncomfortable. And yet, Hashem decided that's where they would stay for a long period of time. It was an arichus yomim over there, and they didn't complain. Rabbi Bechai elaborates on this. Yivor lo akosim aloshin shel Yisrael banagosim al pi'anon. Ki hayva midbar mekavus chalukim nochim einam nochim. Yesh mekavus nochim shir tzu lakiv sham. There were places which were very comfortable. They wanted to stay there. They wanted to remember. Yad ba los anon or yinosim. V'yesh einam nochim v'yirtzu imsal misham aval beherich anon yitztarch lusakiv lo yisur. Sof davar lo hayu holchim achar ratzon atzmam ela atz achar ratzon Hashem yisale ukefi hanhogas anon. And this is so true. This contains, I believe, within it the key to the survival of the Jewish people. Because the Jewish communities in Golis established themselves in certain locations. The center of the community obviously was the Beis HaKnesses. And sometimes there was such Mesiris Nefesh, some Torah, such Torah Gadol to set up a beautiful Beis HaKnesses. And yet, it was time to move on. I mean, the Jew in Golis always knew, always appreciated, that his Chanoya, his encampment in any particular location was only temporary. It was only a stopping station on the way to Eretz Yisrael throughout the bitter years of Golis. And sometimes such koichos were being put in to establishing community only to find that quickly afterwards the situation arose through persecution, pogroms, or whatever, that they would have to pack their bags and move on to the next location to reestablish their community elsewhere, take their old minhagim sometimes with them, sometimes take upon themselves new minhagim. Jews who left Spain established themselves in Aram Tzova or other places throughout the diaspora. And sometimes, on the contrary, they established small little communities. The shul was a humble structure, very transient, very temporary, and yet they would remain there for hundreds of years. My father, Zichron Levracha, came from a town of Plisa, a small little shtetl with a teeny shul. And he told me that there were Jews there for 6 centuries. But I believe that perhaps the Panim Yafos here has a beautiful, beautiful interpretation that gives us a feeling for the Jew in Golus. He speaks about Aaron HaKohen. He speaks about that, the fact that the Ananim HaMakifim, the Ananim HaSovavim, were B'schus Aaron. He points out that there are two types of Ananim. There are the Ananim that are Sovavim, the Makifim, the Aaron, in a very permanent way, the Shora al Mishkan. This you'll see in Nabi Yud Zayin. And it was those Anonim Sovavim which were on the Aron. And they were, they were B'schus Aron. He writes, Afilu B'shah Shechanu Hayu Ananim Akifim Osam. There were Ananim even B'shah Shechaniyah. Hanonim alolu hayu b'schus Aaron. These were Shor al Mishkan. Then there were Anonim asovavim that holchu imam b'shas nesiyosam. So you have the Shas Chaniyah and the Shas Nesiyah. There were Anonim that were kvuim, if you will, that were Shor al Mishkan. And those were the Ananim of b'schus Aaron. And at the end of the paragraph, I bolded it, Ananim asovim hayu b'schus Aaron v'lo haya b'hem siman anesia. Those Ananim that were sovavim, that were forever permanently protecting the Mishkan, Shoral Mishkan, those were b'schus Aaron. They had no relationship to siman anesia. They were permanent. And then there were other Ananim that would direct Klal Yisrael towards Nesia. And I believe that the message here is clear for us. Jewish communities in Golis establish themselves in locations. The center of the community is always the Beis HaKnesses. Knesses, Miloshim Knesiat, gather together, the Asifa. And therefore the image of the Mishkan, the Eis Chaniyosam, is the Jew who sets up his tent, or the Jewish community setting up their tent surrounding the Mishkan, which is in the center, and the Kisa Ha'ananas HaMishkan. This is all B'schus Aaron. Aaron represents love, unity, binding the community together. Aaron plays the role of the glue that keeps us all together. This is the meat of Rachamim, of Ava. We'll soon see in the next parasha of Chatzotzros that the blowing of the shofar for the sake of Asifa is the Tekiah, which symbolizes the meat of Rachamim. This is the Rachamim of joining together the people into one entity. And this is the key to Jewish survival. Establishing a Mishkan at the center, a gravitational pull, a unity, a love. The Achdus of Klal Yisrael, this gives us the power, and this is what's able to generate through that Rachamim, the ability of the Jew to ultimately move forward as a community. And the Panim Yafos, which you'll see here in Nobu Yud Ches, enhances this point by saying that even though B'Shas Chania, there was really no Kvius, because they were ready and Behikon prepared to move on as soon as the Ananim of the Nesia would indicate that it was time to move on, nevertheless, he writes, Kol Zman Shehayu Chonim, they considered it as Kvius. And that's what the Torah is trying to say. Al pi Hashem Yachdu, they established the kvius during that time period, knowing full well that it was temporary. And he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Erevin, Kema dechsiv al pi Hashem Yachdu, kiman de kvi dami, v'lo ala belibam tirdas hanasiyim. They were totally oblivious to the tirda, the hassle of getting together and moving again. And what did they do that indicated, that reflected their kvius in a makom? They were osek b'torah. Haskin atzmecha lilmo torah tzarch kvius makom. Torah needs kvius. If a person is mavulbal, he's confused, he can't focus, his mind is in a state of hassle, he's moving from place to place, how can he possibly have the menuchas hanefesh, the serenity and the calm to focus on his Torah? And the shvach of Klal Yisrael, which is beautifully incorporated to this parasha according to the Panim Yafos, is the fact that they treated those places of Chania as kvius, dedicating themselves to study Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. And this was the kvius makom. They were oblivious to the possibility that in a moment's time they'll have to be no seya, they'll have to uproot themselves and reestablish themselves in a different location. And how beautiful it is to see communities in Klal Yisrael throughout the Golos, the diaspora, that are dedicating themselves to the study of Torah. In the Migdash Ma'at, the Bati Midrashos, and totally oblivious to the fact that tomorrow they may have to move on. And finally, Rabosai, the fifth parasha that I wanted to discuss with you. This begins, this is the kickoff of Bamidbar Perek Yud, the first 10 psukim, the Aselech HaShtei Chatzotzos. And here, I think the Kli Yakar really indicates the secret of this parsha. He speaks about two types of enemies of the Jewish people, enemies from within, enemies from without. The pasuk says, V'chisavo milchama bi'artzechem ala tzara tzara eschem. Who is this tzara tzara eschem? He says, lo zos lufnim b'yisrael shemachal eis tzara hoyu gozrim tainos v'yitokim uriyim v'yomer malchi zekon shofros k'nisa b'tur arachayim simatov kofayim tes. To dedicate ourselves to tshuva, to kapara, to tainis, to fast days. This is what the community represents. To be mesakein people who will guide us, as we said before, the Kohen Gadol, Balos Chasaner, to elevate us, the Levim, to be mechaper, to energize us towards tefillah, towards tshuva, towards chesed and nefesh. Malchi is the Kohen Shofros, beis tzara, the enemies from within. And there's a beautiful drasha of the Shach, no less than the Shach, in which he asks the question, V'chitavo milchama be'artzachem. It should have said, Kitavo limilchama when you go out to war, what's Tavo? And then it says Milchama Be'artzachem. Or it could have said Chitavo Milchama. What's Kitavo Milchama? El Remez Kan Al Tzora Shalo Tovol Atzibur Shis Anu V'Yariu B'Chatzotzros Minat Stodim. He says, "Kmo Shabra Mishnah Shofar Beemtza V'Chatzotz Minat Stodim Shofar Mekatzer V'Chatzotzos Marichos Al Atzara Tzora Ksiv." Shutzar v'tzor who samuel shemekatrig aleichem tomid. So says the Shach that this parsha of Chatzotzros, of kisavol milchama, this tzar atzor eschem, this is the enemy from within. This is samuel who's mekatrig because of achatoyim, and we have to do battle against this mekatrig. V'zel kisavo. What does kisavo mean? Where are we coming to? Shemiskabtzim upoim lebeis hakneses. The beis hakneses is the center. We gravitate towards the beis hakneses. That's where we'll do tshuva. That's where we'll generate a kapara. That's where our leaders, our greats, will guide us to be mesakin averos. That's where we'll be meiria. We'll be hariosem against the makatreg who tries to undermine Klal Yisrael. That's the Beis HaKnesses. That's the subject of the first five sections of Parshas Baloscha. This is the key to success for the Jewish people throughout the years of Golus, to establish communities in one location, even if it's temporary, to build a Beis HaKnesses at the center of the community, to establish that Beis HaKnesses as a Beis HaMikdash Ma'at, to treat it with Mora, knowing that we can't just go in whenever we want to. The covet of lighting the candles, of Kavdu as Hashem Biurim, having the greats of our community guide us and lead us and energize us to bring our mitzvahs to a high level, to teach us how to do tshuva, to achieve kapara, and ultimately to appreciate that the Beis HaKnesses, the Migdash Ma'at, the Mokam Ashras HaShechina, is a temporary station. It's a Beis HaMigdash Ma'at, it's not the Beis HaBechira. But to appreciate the, as we said in the name of the Malbim, the Or that's Mevaser, the Yeshua, that light that contains within it a message of faith and hope that will project us through the love, the unity, the mid of Aaron, the mid of Sarachamim, towards fighting against the enemies from within without, until we could conquer Eretz Yisrael, establish the Mokom HaMikdash Li'ol Me'ad Beis HaBechira at the time of Bias Goel Tzidkenu B'Meirav Yameinu. Amen.